this letter. Colossians and chapter 3, and the page number is 1184. And the very observant among you will realize that last time I was here and I spoke from Colossians, it's the same passage that I read then, and I'm going to be repeating a little bit of what I said then and adding to it. So Colossians chapter 3, page 1184, reading from verse 11. Okay? Colossians 3, starting to read from verse 11. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. For forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Okay, so we've been tracing through this letter, and this is the key theme that runs through the whole letter. Jesus, Lord of the cosmos. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to this small group of followers of Jesus in the town of Colossae, he wants to encourage them and strengthen them. And I can well imagine that the response sometimes from them is, it's all very well, but the empire, the Roman Empire, is so powerful. Those who have power over us are so powerful. In the end, we have to do what they say. And the theme of this letter is this extraordinary encouragement, this subversive encouragement. Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. Lord not just over the person who has power over you. Not just over your boss or your boss's boss. Not just over the emperor of the Roman Empire. But Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. And this is one of the key encouragements in this letter. That any one of these followers of Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. You just have to follow Jesus, because Jesus is Lord over all these other powers. Stick with what God is doing in you. So Jesus, Lord of the cosmos. Now today, I'm entitling what I'm going to say, we're all in this together. Do you ever feel that? Sometimes yes, I guess. Sometimes no. We're all in this together. And this is the text. It probably reads slightly different words from what I've just read out of the church Bibles. But I've put this up on the screen, and I've been referring to it during this morning. And I've done this deliberately so we can see together the way in which the Apostle Paul, as he encourages these believers in Colossae, he encourages them, we're all in this together in quite an extraordinary way. Now, a few weeks ago, when we were looking at this same passage, I highlighted verse 11. And as I've put it here, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, I wonder, any of you remember, now this is a bit of a challenge because it is a few weeks ago, I introduced a word I introduced a particular word to you and said, what Paul is doing is challenging a very negative attitude, a very negative behavior that was going on in Colossae. It was also going on in Galatia, because we see something very similar to these words in Galatians 3:28. And it's an action that is very familiar to us. Anybody remember, there was a word, a term I used? Almost. Othering. Okay? There's this expression that is used. Othering. And othering is something we do so very easily in our lives. Sometimes we know we're doing it, sometimes we don't realize we're doing it. So we have here there is no Greek or Jew. How easy it was for a Jew, if he felt under pressure from a Greek, if he wanted to either blatantly or very quietly put down a Greek, he would say, oh, well, you're a Greek. And immediately doing that, he is othering that person, saying, you are less than me. I am more privileged, I am better than you. A great example would be in Galatians 3:28, where Paul says, there is neither male nor female. How easy it is for us to other somebody and say, well, you're just, you've heard this, haven't you? You're just a woman. Or you're just a man. You wouldn't understand. And immediately we're doing what is called othering. I've been reading a lot about othering. And somebody I was reading this week was saying, the reason behind, or the reason why the Holocaust was allowed to happen, and the reason why the massacres were allowed to happen in the former Yugoslavia, was because of othering. And it never happens straight out, but it's a subtle thing where, for example, with the Holocaust, it's just the Jews. Stories are told about the Jews, subverting them, putting them down, and so on. And then there is a normalization of the attitude. Do you get this, what I'm saying? And this is what's called othering. So what the Apostle Paul is doing, because he lives within this culture that does precisely that, he's saying, here there is no othering of Greek or Jew. There is no othering of circumcised or uncircumcised, of barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And just to highlight, othering is this critique or putting down or dismissing those who are different to us. Sometimes it's blatant, sometimes it's subtle. And examples of othering, we can do it in terms of somebody's black or white or whatever colour they are. There's the gender differences, economic differences, national differences. We can do it in all sorts of different ways. But othering allows us to feel more important than we are. Othering allows us to justify negative action against somebody else. And the Apostle Paul says, here, there is none of this. In other words, in Christ, there is none of this othering. It's not going to happen. Once we belong to Jesus, it is out. And that is actually a massive challenge for us, because I know this othering goes on in the church. Have you ever been called a heretic? Because you think something that's not sound? Have you ever been called a liberal? What's that an example of? It's othering. It's othering. You see, and why do we call within the church, why do we say, oh, well, that person, they've gone off the rails, you know, they're heretic. Or, you know, if we're coming from an evangelical perspective and we say, they're really liberal. Why are we saying that? Because by othering them, we can dismiss them. And we don't have to take seriously what they say or who they are. And we do it so easily. And if we examine our own hearts, we know what we're doing. But the Apostle Paul here is saying, here, there's not going to be any of that. Now, Paul gives to us a recipe. How do we deal with this? He's just made this extraordinary statement. How do we deal with this? Well, we begin here. As you see, I've highlighted, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all and is in all. Jesus Christ is the inspiration for my life. That's where we begin. That's the first thing we acknowledge. How can I make sure that I am not guilty of this othering? Well, we say, Jesus Christ is the inspiration for my life. Who he is, what he said, how he lived, the example that he was and is. Christ is all to me. And as I was reflecting on this week, you know the old hymn? I don't know, I've just got old hymns on my mind. From Galatians. Christ is all. See, immediately I say the word sign of age. You know, I can forget. About walking. It'll come back to me. But Jesus being the center, the inspiration for my life. That's where we begin in terms of making sure that we don't other people. Because we follow the example of Jesus. Now, there may be some of us already, and we're saying, no, surely we can. This bit is justified, that bit. But he's saying, no. If Jesus is the inspiration for our lives, then that is out. But it's not just that Christ is all to me. What does it go on and say? Christ is in all. Christ is in all. So the very person we want to other, the very person we want to put down, Christ is present for them. And Christ is in them. No, surely not. Isn't that what he's saying? So the Apostle Paul is saying, this is the recipe of how to make sure that we don't participate in this othering that is so easy to do. We remember Christ is the inspiration for my life, and Christ is present for and in all these others. Now, he then goes on with this word, therefore. And really, he's saying, okay, how then do we live? What do we actually do with the nuts and bolts of this? We have all this inspiration, yet Jesus is the center of my life. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. We can have that inspiration. And that can be very powerful for us. And we can say that Jesus is in all these other people. And he's present for them. But what does it mean practically for me in my life? How do I live? Well, before Paul gets to that, he highlights this. God's chosen people. Therefore, as God's chosen people, God has chosen you to shine the light of Christ. He has put upon you a responsibility to live this new way, where we don't other people, where we don't put people down. And immediately there's a sense of responsibility. How do I live? Well, I have to take responsibility here. God has chosen me. God has chosen us to shine his powerful and wonderful light. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now, I know often we can read the scriptures and we can say, do you know, I hear what it says and I think I understand what it says, but I'm not sure I'm up to it. I'm not sure I can do this. My life isn't good enough. And that's why the Apostle Paul puts God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. This reminder, love, this is my deep sense of being. Do you know, I may fail on this today. I may fail on this tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, but I am loved. I am loved. And I will get up the next day, and I will try to be all that God has called me to be. Therefore, how do we live as God's chosen people? Chosen, called each one of us to shine the light of Christ, to live in this radically challenging, different way. We begin by remembering and acknowledging we are loved by God, and that is our deep sense of being. Okay, down to brass tacks. What are we actually to do? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this is the really good bit. Personal responsibility. Is that the really good bit?
Yeah.
Do you know, I've been a Christian, I don't know how many years. Most of my life I've been a Christian. Over 40 years I've been a Christian. Yeah, I know I don't look that old, but no. I became a Christian very young. Yeah. And I've been a minister now, I know, 29, nearly 30 years. I've heard so many excuses. And you've probably heard the same excuses. So many excuses as to why we don't follow Jesus closely. Now, I've said them all to myself. And when the Apostle Paul says, clothe yourselves, he's not saying get somebody else to do it. He's saying take personal responsibility for your own life. And if you're not living with compassion, who's responsible for that? Each of us. If you're not living with kindness, ain't nobody else responsible. If you're not living with humility or gentleness or patience, and this is the challenge. This is personal responsibility. It's putting away of excuses. And because the Apostle Paul says here there's going to be no othering. We're not going to put people down in this simple way that is so, well, the fruit of which is so awful. We're going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the inspiration for our lives, that Jesus Christ is present for and in all these others that we would put down. And as a result, those who are chosen to shine God's light, loved by God, we will take personal responsibility for our lives. And we will say, whatever it is I need to do, I will do. That I might be more compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient. I remember, 20 years ago, I remember sitting in a discussion group somewhere about here in the church. And we were talking about various different things. And it just struck me, and I shared this with the group, that when I was training for ministry, I was trained in terms of leading in prayer. I was trained in terms of leading worship, trained in terms of pastoral care, trained in terms of expounding the Bible and preaching. And I said to the group, you know, no one has ever trained me in acts of compassion. Nobody had ever trained me in acts of compassion. And there is that personal responsibility we have to say, if there is stuff in me that means I am not compassionate, we need to do whatever we need to do to deal with that. Take personal responsibility for it. And that does mean that we look for changes of behaviour to grow, mature and develop the fruit of the Spirit in us. Because this is very similar, again, to Galatians 5, isn't it? You know, this compassion, kindness, humility, patience, gentleness and patience. And it is about changes in behaviour and taking responsibility for that. So that's where it begins. That's where the rubber hits the road. This is the nuts and bolts of it. How do we actually begin to do this? We take personal responsibility for this. And then the Apostle Paul goes on. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with one another. This is about patience. Recognizing, as we were reminded earlier, we're all on a journey. And some of us have cracked certain things in our journey, and other people are struggling with those same things. Bear with one another. It's a deep patience that we have for one another. Bear with one another and then forgive. And he doesn't just say it once. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive whatever grievances you've got against somebody. This is the beginning within the body of Christ of saying we're not going to other one another. Is that a good phrase? We're not going to other one another. We're not going to put one another down. We're not going to be unnecessarily critical of one another. We're going to acknowledge the value and the beauty that is in each one of us. We're going to acknowledge that just as Jesus is the center of my life, Jesus is present for all these other people as well. And so we will forgive the grievances, we'll put them down, and we will seek to build relationship. And as the Apostle Paul says here, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's straightforward. But it has to begin at home. This is where the Apostle Paul is saying, if we're going to live this truth out there, then we need to live it here amongst us. But he's not quite finished. Over all these virtues, put on love. And then let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then be thankful. And then we're told to sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We begin with love. Over all these virtues, put on love. Again, this is the same sense as clothing yourself with compassion and kindness. Clothe yourself with love. And some of us will have to change our behavior because the places we go, the people we hang out with, the influences upon our lives are not helping us put on love. But they're just emphasizing criticism and putting others down. And so we need to change our behavior. And so we're encouraged, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I've often wondered about this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. But I'm so agitated. And sometimes we need to just stop. It's interesting, Sarah shared about the labyrinth. And it's a way of prayer. It's a way of modelling a way of life. Simplicity, gentle, patient. It's not forever saying more, 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 more. But it's more accepting and content. To let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Again, sometimes we have to put stuff down. We have to put attitudes down and behaviours down. And the challenge in all this is a lot of the things that we have to put down and the behaviours that we have to change, they feel so normal to us. They feel so normal to us. I've been like this all my life. You know, that's one of the excuses I've heard. This is just me. You know? And it's because we've just lived like this. And we just think, can't change. I've been like this 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And at which point we have to say, does the Word of God apply to us or not? And if it does, then we need to give up on the excuses and take responsibility. And then finally, this repetition that Paul has of thankfulness. And be thankful.
I can imagine Paul, if he'd actually been in Colossae and he was sharing all this, I can just imagine him turning away and just, be thankful. Okay, you know, be thankful. Because Paul knows, if you are thankful, it changes your perspective on everything else as well. If you're thankful for what you have in your life, if you're thankful for where you've come from, for thankful for who you are, thankful for who you meet around the church, around town, thank you for the gifts that you have in your life, for your abilities. If you are thankful, if you flood your heart with gratitude, it changes your perspective. And if you thank God for the people who are different than you, and just express your appreciation of the people who are different from you, how much it changes your attitude. And be thankful. And then sing these psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude. And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Very last word. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. This kind of fulfills the circle here. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. The life and the teaching of Jesus. That's where it's all rooted. Taking seriously the life that Jesus lived and the teaching that he expounded himself. We're all in this together. I don't think any one of us have succeeded yet. Any success? You know, we're kind of a bit on the journey, done it a bit, but the transformation is underway. And at the heart of it, we say, okay, the life and the teaching of Jesus is what we aim to reflect and meditate upon. And as we put that into action, that will change who we are and the way we live. So I'm going to pause there and we're going to pray together. And just for a moment, let us just let the word of Christ rest upon us. You might have heard something this morning that's encouraged you. You may have heard something this morning that has annoyed you, challenged you. Just let it rest upon you for a moment. Gracious Father, you have given to us the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Saviour. We fix our eyes and our thoughts upon him. May he be and continue to be the inspiration for our lives. Father, we pray today that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen and encourage us so that individually and together we might shine the light of Christ, compassion, kindness, mercy, gentleness, humility, and we would draw others to yourself. So fill us afresh, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. So we're going to